It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Inside Sources. Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson.
Well, it is political season in full swing. 46 days to the November 8th election. Coming up next month on October the 14th, I'm actually going to be moderating Utah's second congressional district debate down at Southern Utah University. And of course, that will be between the traditional ones we often think about, the Democrat Nick Mitchell, incumbent Republican Chris Stewart, and a third candidate has qualified for the debate stage, Cassie Easley of the Constitution Party. And we're very excited to have Cassie on the program for the first time, learn a little bit about her and her campaign. Cassie, welcome to Inside Sources.
Thank you, Boyd. I'm glad to be here.
So give us just a little background. Give us a little bit of your story, and then we'll jump into your campaign and what we expect to see down the home stretch.
I'm just a normal person. I'm a mom. I'm grandma. I'm recently widowed. My husband died last month. And so I had already decided I was going to run for Congress. And I wanted to be the person that stands up and represents the normal person in the state of Utah, because I don't think that as a people we're being represented by the politicians. We need somebody that's a normal person that's going to represent normal people.
One condolences on the loss of your husband. We always say it is a major challenge to throw your hat into the ring and put yourself into the ring of a campaign, and to do that on the back end of that kind of loss is heroic, and it is the kind of courage that we need more of in our leaders and in our society as a whole. So, Cassie, as you look at this particular race, you mentioned not feeling that the average person, the regular people, are being represented well. Give us a sense of your vision. What are the things that are most important to you in terms of principles as you look at this campaign?
The principles that I stand on are the Constitution. That is my platform, is a constitutional government. I see that as things go through the years, we have the Democrats in office and things go way far to the left. Then the Republicans get back into office and it doesn't go farther left, but it doesn't go back to the right. And they claim to be conservative and they aren't restoring what has been taken away when the left is in office. So we have this slide and then a stop. And then it starts sliding again, and we keep getting farther and farther away from the constitutional principles that this country was founded on. And a lot of the big problems I have are like the special interest groups. If we went by the Constitution, we would have a consistent government where no special interest groups based on anything that they would want is getting more attention than any other individual, because we are all in this together as a country, and we don't see everybody's rights being treated equally. We have the big problem with gun control, but who is it really controlling? It's only controlling people that do things legally, but we still keep adding more and more to it, whereas we, on the other side of it, we have people that are very liberal and their ideals and things keep getting more attention, and we pass laws that restrict First Amendment rights like speech by how we address people. And there's just no balance to it, and we should have a consistent, balanced government, and I don't see that anymore.
I think the special interest is such an important part of that, where the wealthy and the well-connected and those who can afford to have an army of lawyers and lobbyists do tend to get that special treatment or special interest. That's where it comes from, because of what they're able to do there. And having that more transparency is such a vital part of it. As you look at the second congressional district, It has to be one of the most unique congressional districts in the country. It basically runs the length of the state of Utah. And so it has very interesting subsets of people to represent from city to rural. What are some of the things, as you've been traveling around, as you've been campaigning, what are you hearing from the people of the 2nd Congressional District?
Mainly because I'm in the southern area, we're more rural. So they have a lot of ideology like I do that we have very common liberty ideas. When I go up into the cities, they're more concerned about they're more interested in city aspects of things, whereas we're worried more about liberty down here. They're more worried about passing laws that will help them be able to do things better within a city structure. And I did grow up in the city. My dad was in the Navy, so I was always around Navy bases, which is always a big city. So I understand what a lot of what they're looking for. A lot of it, though, is more at a state level than a federal level, I believe, is what they're talking about. And that's where I feel like I'd love to help with that, but that's more of a issue that the state representatives are the ones that you need to go to about that, because it's outside the scope of the Constitution, which is the only scope that the federal government's really supposed to be pushing on what they do within an individual state.
Right.
And I think that there's some disconnect on what the federal government is supposed to do within a state.
Yeah.
So I'm still trying to get a better grasp on what it is that I can do that is more federally based than a state-based issue. And that's what most people are talking about, are state-based issues.
Yeah, and that's such an interesting thing, that separation of powers becomes so interesting, and what is done at the federal level versus what's done at those laboratory of democracies at the state level. Just real quickly, I'm going to sneak in one extra question here, and that is project yourself forward. If you were on the floor of the House of Representatives, what's one of the first things you would want to do to represent Utah's 2nd Congressional District?
Oh, my. There's so many different things that are out there that need fixing. I think the first thing I would do at this coming up Congress is they recently, this week, passed a bill about the Electoral College, which is part of the Constitution. And when you try to change the Constitution, you can't do it with just a bill. You can't do it with a House bill. And so they're passing laws in an unconstitutional way, and they need to be called the other people in Congress need to be called to task on that you can't just pass a bill and change the Constitution. And that's what they did this week. And there's just things like that need to be addressed right away so that people know their proper role. And I don't think that the people in Congress right now are sticking to the proper role of what they're supposed to be doing. And they're just trying to do everything they just want, not what they're supposed to do. So that would be the first thing I started addressing, would be their proper role, and to kind of chastise and get in line and pass, not necessarily try to pass things, but to bring to the attention so that it can be stopped, so that the people have their rights back.
Yeah. Okay. Cassie Easley, currently running for Congress in Utah's 2nd Congressional District. She will join her opponents, Democrat Nick Mitchell, Republican Chris Stewart, the incumbent. We'll all be together on the stage October 14th down at Southern Utah University. Cassie, we appreciate you coming on the program today. We look forward to having more conversations both on the show and down at SUU on October 14th. Good luck on the campaign trail, and we'll be talking to you again real soon.
Okay, thank you very much. You have a great day.
All right. Again, that's Cassie Easley. She's currently running for Congress in Utah's 2nd Congressional District, and by the debate commission rules, she reached that threshold number to qualify for the campaign stage. She is a member of the Constitution Party, and we're excited to have her be part of that crucial conversation coming up on October the 14th. And that's going to wrap us up for hour number one of Inside Sources here on KSL News Radio. We'll have top of the hour news. Hour number two coming up next. Stick around.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.